To evaluate the situation man finds himself in is an easy thing to do. All people everywhere wrestle with the same concerns, the same doubts, the same fears. What is life really about? What brings meaning? What brings fulfillment? What about life after death? How can I deal with sorrows and problems and trials? Christians deal with these problems, with these thoughts, one way. People who are not Christians deal with them another way. And when you boil it down, there are really just two ways to deal with these problems. You can look to God's revelation, which, if it's true, can give you guidance and direction, where answers will be provided, or you're left to your own devices, man's way. But not any particular man, because no one man really has the answers, all the answers that people come to that individual to receive. So what is the purpose in life? What is the meaning of success? Some seek those answers in the financial realm. Some are seeking them in fame, power, pleasure. We're all in the same boat, in that everybody wants to be filled. Everybody wants to be satisfied. But most everyone is going to different sources to find fulfillment. Today we're going to try to determine, what does it take to satisfy? We're going to look at a list, 10 things that I'm going to suggest, and I'm going to emphasize that as we look through the list initially, I'm not talking about the source of the list. Just want to look at a list of things and keep in mind the question, would this thing or multiplicity of these things, all these things together, would they truly bring satisfaction to most people? For example, forgiveness. For one to know that they are completely forgiven of all their wrongs, and to know that they can have forgiveness for anything that they do wrong from now to the end of their life. Forgiveness and all that goes with that. All guilt removed. No more guilt. No more shame. All the things that are associated with that. Even the most hardened criminal, would this be something that they would find attractive, something that they would have to look at deep within the recesses of their heart and say, yes, that would be very meaningful. Certainly a part of the puzzle to finding true satisfaction in life. Hope. The hope that all things will work out in the end. No matter what happens, everything will be okay. Now again, I'm not talking about the source of these things. Peace of mind. There are many songs, many proverbs, many pieces of literature that have been written with peace of mind as the main goal for which to strive. This is a wonderful blessing. There are many religious movements that have that as their central focus. Buddhism, yoga, Hinduism, and others that make that perhaps the main goal. Contentment. Whatever is not covered by peace of mind, I'm trying to finish that here. Self-sufficiency. A contentment which is based not on external circumstances, but whatever, however you want to define that. Confidence. It's doubtful that anyone has ever been successful or had satisfaction in life without this quality. People like to feel confident in themselves. They like to feel confident in what they're doing in life. I don't believe anybody can be satisfied without having confidence in some kind of way. Provisions. Everybody likes to be provided for. Everybody would like to be able to have no worries about food, clothing, shelter. Last several decades, a lot of emphasis has been placed upon retirement accounts and such things. Everybody wants to be provided for, and everybody wants to know as much as is possible that they will continue to be provided for. And again, I'm not talking about the source at this point. Forgiveness, hope, peace of mind, contentment, confidence, provisions. Anything missing yet? Would this be enough? What about trust? Trust is something that we need in order to be satisfied, is it not? All people, well, most people, I suppose, want to be trusted. And they want to be able to trust others, or at least to trust those in whom they confide. Security. The feeling of being safe. The feeling of being protected. This seems to be an obvious necessity for satisfaction. Aristobulus I of the Hasmonean dynasty, one of the reasons out of three that are commonly reported that he died after 1 year of his reign of drink, disease, and fear of rebellion, i.e. insecurity. It can wreak havoc, stress. Security is a meaningful thing. What about success and fulfillment? Of course, I realize these are broad. To feel that what you've done, to feel that what you're doing is meaningful, is beneficial. And in case I missed anything, what about happiness? Just kind of dot the I and cross the T there. Everybody's trying to find happiness, true happiness. Would you be inclined to agree that these blessings would make a person happy if they had all these all together at the same time and they continue to have all these all together at the same time? Can you believe that anybody would not consider this list to be a complete list? And somebody out there, some smart aleck, is going to come up with something that you got to add to that. And that's okay. It's not meant to be every single. Maybe there is something that's missing, but that sounds pretty full to me. If you had one wish, you know, you got the genie in the bottle or whatever. This is a one wish genie. What would your wish be? Of course, what do most people think of when you ask that question? If you could have anything you want, one thing, what would you do? I don't even know that $1 million is regarded that much anymore. It's probably $1 billion now. Why mess around with $1 million? But why do people tend to say that? $1 million or 10 million or whatever their figure is. Why did they say that? You know why? Because they believe that they can buy the things on this list, at least most of them, with that money. It's not the money in itself, is it? They don't just want to sit around and hold a bunch of money and smell it, and they may enjoy that, but what good is that if you can't buy something with it? What do they think they can buy with it? A lot of these things here on this list. But that never works. And they can read about everybody else winning the lottery and being billionaires and read about their misery and their woes and their struggles and their difficulties and the things that they cannot fix in their lives with money. And they think, well, it wouldn't be that way with me. The gospel promises these blessings. In a context which tells us that God will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we're able to bear, Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13 that God is faithful. God is faithful. And the Hebrew writer tells us in chapter 6, verse 18, that it's impossible for God to lie. God is faithful. God cannot lie. And I submit to you that Paul's statement that God is faithful came from God. God claims to be faithful. He cannot lie. Men can tell a lie and remain what they are. But God cannot tell a lie and remain the God of the Scriptures. Simply won't work. His whole existence and nature depends on his genuineness, his truthfulness. So when I see a promise of God, I can know that I can put my hope, my trust, my confidence in that promise. The gospel of Jesus Christ claims to provide all these things on this list. For example, forgiveness. In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 28, Jesus instituting the Lord's Supper said that his blood is going to be shed for the forgiveness of sins. And of course, as the New Testament lays itself out, we see that is precisely what is taught. That forgiveness of sins is not available to man except on the basis of the blood of Jesus Christ. Remember the response, the reaction of the scribes in Mark chapter 2, that occasion where the man was brought on the stretcher, if you will, and let down into the house, and Jesus said, "Your sins are forgiven." Remember the response of the scribes? Who is this man who claims to forgive sins? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But if you believe the Bible, Jesus claims that he in fact can and does forgive sins. Any sin, every sin, all sin that's confessed and repented of. Hope. Titus chapter 1 and verse 2, Paul spoke of having the hope of eternal life, which God, here's the statement again, who cannot lie, promised before the world began. We're not talking about some mundane hope of, oh, something we want to happen this Saturday night or how things will work out next week. If one truly has the hope of eternal life, everything else should pale by comparison. Peace of mind. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, Paul speaks of the peace that surpasses all understanding. passage that was just read a moment ago, Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Contentment. Philippians 4, verse 11, Paul says, I've learned in whatever state I am to be content. When we lived in New Jersey, I remember a brother, every time he quoted this, he would say, I've learned, he was not from New Jersey, most of us weren't. I've learned in whatever state I am in, even in New Jersey, to be content. Through Christ. With Paul's past record, how could he make such a statement? How could he claim to know peace of mind and contentment? Only through Christ. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 12, Paul says that in Christ we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in Him. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 17, John writes that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. It's one thing to have confidence, at any number of things. Some sport, some activity, any particular endeavor, but to have the confidence to stand before God or to come before God in prayer, Hebrews chapter 4. Matthew chapter 6, verses 26 through 29, Jesus tells us to consider the lilies, to consider the sparrows, to take no thought for tomorrow. God knows that you have need of life's necessities. And if you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, God will provide. Your provisions will be taken care of. Another promise. Psalm 40, verse 4. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust. Blessed is the man. That's a much richer word than we commonly think of. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. The Lord will bless you. In essence, he goes on to say, He will provide for you. We can trust God. Again, He cannot lie. Being blessed is conditioned on trusting in the Lord. Romans 8, Paul says that neither death nor life nor angels, principalities, powers, things present, things to come, height, depth, anything created, none of these things shall be able to separate us from the love of God. You want to talk about security? If you are a Christian, you have as much security as mortal man can possibly have. Success, fulfillment. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul? Paul said in Ephesians 3, 20 and 21, to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. That sound like it comes up short in some kind of way to you? In John chapter 4, verses 13 and 14, Jesus talking to the Samaritan woman at the well, said to her, whoever drinks of this water that you're offering me will thirst again. Whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Does that sound like success to you? Fulfillment? And then the icing on the cake, happiness, which the Bible word actually is blessed, but that's another subject. True happiness, you might say. Psalm 1, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, sit in the path of sinners, stand in the path of sinners, sit in the seat of the scornful, if I didn't get some of those out of line there. Whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And then he compares him to a tree and the blessings that will be showered upon him constantly. A picture of true happiness, blessedness. You know, I'm convinced that everybody who ever fell away or never came to the Lord throughout Scripture would agree with this list. If they had what was on this list right here, if this list was theirs, a realization for them, that they would say, yes, that would make me satisfied, fulfilled. I believe that Abel, Cain, would say that. I believe those before the flood in Noah's day would say that. People of the Tower of Babel, the Israelites, King Saul, those of Nineveh, would this fulfill you? Would this satisfy you? The Pharisees, Herod the Great, boy, was he looking for security. If you know much about his life. Felix, and the list could go on. I believe even an atheist would agree with this list. Again, I'm not talking about the source at this point. I'm just talking about the list. Hymenaeus and Alexander would agree with this list. And we're told they made shipwreck of the faith. Demas would not disagree with this. And we're told that he loved the present world more than the Lord. That seems to be the understanding. Hundreds of thousands who've fallen away from the Lord or who have refused to obey him initially, I'm confident would look at this list and say, yes, that's what I've been longing for. But you know, genuine Christianity guarantees these things. Genuine Christianity guarantees to satisfy. And if your Christianity is not providing these things, if you don't recognize these blessings as part of your life, something is seriously wrong. Because God promises that they are a part of real Christianity. And we're not talking about a plan failing. We're not talking about some program being inadequate. If the plan fails, God fails. If the program is inadequate, we're talking about here, God is inadequate. And that's serious business. If you are a Christian and you do not recognize these blessings as part of your life, you are in some way falling short in your service or in your concept of the grace of God, maybe, or in your commitment to the Lord. Look at that list. Will that satisfy you? Would that give you fulfillment, happiness, satisfaction? There may be some here who've never obeyed the gospel, some who maybe have but are not faithful to the Lord. Why is that so? Is it because they believe these things don't satisfy? They say, no, I have to have more than this. I don't think that's the reason. They don't believe that Jesus Christ can satisfy. They don't believe that Jesus Christ can supply the things that are on this list. And so they continue to seek fulfillment and satisfaction in pleasure, in material things, in entertainment, in chemicals, in another person. Do you believe Jesus Christ can supply these things on this list? If you do and you've not responded to Him in submitting to His will, would you do that at this time, if that be your need? Let's stand together and sing the song.